The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Good morning, Long Island, and welcome to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas. Again, so glad that you can join us this morning. My guest today is Katie Gandy. Katie is a board member of the Howard County Public School System and a member of the Howard County Autism Society. Katie spearheaded the idea and the campaign for a Playground Communication Boards project, which the Howard County Autism Society has given to their local school system. In addition, she's involved in the development of a local inclusive playground and is working on a project that would create and donate a mobile version of the Playground Communication Boards. Welcome, Katie.
Hi, good morning.
Good. Thank you for making this time. You know, in the world of autism and autism spectrum disorder, of course, you know, the issue of communication and socialization is paramount. So the idea of bringing picture boards for the purpose of communication to areas of play is going to be a very real interest to our listeners. So why don't we go right to the heart of this and talk about what playground communication boards are.
Okay. Well, you know, the project kind of was born out of something I saw on Facebook that was done on a smaller scale for a child care center. And I thought to myself, you know, it would be really cool if that was on a playground where there were a lot of assistive technology users in a classroom or in a school. I thought mostly about my own son who has to carry a laptop around a big strap that goes around his shoulder. It's not always comfortable. So I thought it would be so cool if he was able to be on the playground like his peers, running freely without having to worry about carrying his voice. So the project kind of rolled on from there. It was a 15-month long collaboration between the Howard County Autism Society, where I'm a board member, and the Howard County Public School System Special Education Department, and Dr. Terry Savage. And we worked very closely together developing the board. Our board, I know you guys said that you use picture exchange systems. The icons on the board that we have are born from the TouchChat AAC program. We decided to use that because it's a very intuitive program to use. It makes a lot more sense, kind of like you've heard Apple described as, you know, it's the non-computer user's computer. It just works how our brain works. Well, that's kind of how TouchChat works for most kids. So Howard County has a large concentration of kids that use that. So we figured give them the icons that they're used to seeing and it would be a much smoother transition. And, you know, the Autism Society provided the funding for the boards. They're double-sided. They're 5 feet by 3 feet. So they're not small. And they're kind of situated on the playgrounds at the schools, kind of catty corner a little bit to where the kindergarten or preschool playgrounds can see one side and the larger children's playground, they can use the other side. So it can be used from both angles all the time. And we were able to collect the funding for 8 of the signs to install at the 8 Howard County public schools, elementary schools that had the largest concentration of assistive technology users for communication.
Well, that's great. So a full 8 boards. They're very, very large. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming now that the kids are using this by actually going up to the boards, right? Mm-hmm. And pointing towards a particular symbol or picture as a way of communicating. You know, since this is radio and people are listening, can you give examples of what some of the symbols look like?
Sure. So we have the typical, you know, what's important to any child, doesn't matter if they have communication differences or not, food, what they can play with, where their friends are, what the weather is like, and how long they have to stay out there. So, you know, kind of centers around those categories of items. We have words like fast and slow, go and stop for the slide or the swings. We have cold and hot for them to be able to, you know, it's hot out here. I need a drink of water. We have water on there. We have bathroom in case they need to go inside to use the restroom. There's, you know, we've made it so user-friendly in the way that it was set up and designed that it's just really great for the kids to be able to walk up to it. It's large, it's colorful. They can see exactly what the icon is. Even if they can't read yet, they know what the icon is representing, and they can really use either their one-on-one adult support that they have with them, or bring a little buddy over to the sign and show them exactly what they need and try to get help for themselves. And at the youngest age, they can start advocating for themselves through communication. And I just couldn't be happier that they now have this at these playgrounds.
Well, it sounds wonderful. So really, this allows the kids to play much more freely. So if they're on the jungle gym or a sandbox, whatever they would be doing, playing a little sports, whatever they would be doing, instead of being encumbered by something like an iPad or some other kind of augmented or technical device, while this, you know, initially might seem a little bit old school, for these purposes, it really makes a great deal of sense because they can really move now. Correct? And what I'm thinking too, though, Katie, which is a kind of perhaps a nice advantage here too, is that now they can be on the playground, as they are, with neurotypical kids, mm-hmm. who are also seeing the board and perhaps getting some kind of understanding around the constraints of this particular challenge, being mm-hmm. on the spectrum, but also being able to interact with the kids in right. a different way. Are you seeing that?
Yes. Yeah, so to answer that question, because that's almost my favorite reason that the signs were put up. So our friends with learning disabilities or our special education friends spend a lot of time being told how they should interact with their typical peers, what the real, quote, typical school day looks like, how we walk in the hall in straight lines and do, you know, very specific tasks throughout the day that are quite different from what special education students experience. So I thought it was kind of about time that the typical kids kind of learned how it was for the kids that use assistive technology. It was time for them to say, you know, nothing draws a kid's attention more than a lighted screen. We all know that. So it was not ever a problem getting them to be interested in the device. It was more about how to use it. Mm-hmm. So now this has allowed us, we're once schools go back in person, the Howard County Autism Society, myself, another board member, and the director of special education for the county schools, we are going to work together to do a training for teachers on how to appropriately model language on the sign, which we can talk about a little bit later if your readers are interested of kind of how you get going with something like this with a child that's never used it before, and showing them really like how to use this sign to the biggest advantage that they can and really feel heard and feel like their voice matters.
I couldn't agree more. And I think our listeners are going to be interested in how to train people up and how to make sure or help ensure that children are accessing this to, you know, the fullest extent possible. You know, I'm assuming, Katie, at this point, you've had an opportunity to be out on the playground and watch some of the kids using this. Are you finding that most of the kids, that a lot of the children are using them to have basic kind of linear needs met, meaning that, you know, I want to stop now, pass me the ball, please, I haven't gotten it yet, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But is it also used sometimes for emotions or affect kind of stuff? Well, you know what, I'm feeling a little bit bad, you know, I don't want to play, I'm feeling happy, sad. Are they also using it for emotions?
Yeah. So we started at the baseline, you know, addressing all of their needs that were kind of primal in the food, water, shelter, you know, clothing, bathroom. We started there and kind of branched out and thought, what is a more natural way to help the kids not only communicate more and more detailed using the sign, but also help them kind of expand their language at the same time. So, you know, everybody knows this works with kids on the spectrum. Unless you make it fun and interesting and very visual, they're not going to be into it. So the sign kind of lends itself to, it's colorful, it's big, it's bright, it's fun to touch, it's slippery. You know, you can feel the bumps where the pictures are, those kind of things that our guys love to play with. So they're just enamored with it. And we've noticed, we actually had the installation ceremony at Waverly Elementary, which is in the western side of Howard County. And during our dedication ceremony, a child walked in. He had been in the building for hybrid learning, came right out to the playground, ran up to the sign, started patting, go slide, go slide. As soon as he walked out there, he had never seen it before. Everyone thought it was rehearsed, and that we had him running out to use it in front of a crowd. And it just wasn't the case. It was a very natural, fun way. And then he was just totally engaged with it. And he's looking right at his adult support and saying, "Hey, you know, we can talk like this. I don't have to carry around this big thing anymore."
I have to say that's the perfect bright note upon which to end this segment and just to begin a very short break. So stay with us. When we return, we'll talk a little bit more about the importance of inclusion on the playground and how picture exchange and picture communication boards can help facilitate that. My guest is Katie Gandy. Stay with us. Welcome back, Long Island. You're listening to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to the Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas, continuing my conversation with Katie Gandy, a spearheader and initiative on the subject of bringing picture boards to the playground for the purpose of inclusion. And it's really, Katie, right where we left off, that we have these boards of symbols that are based on the picture exchange communication system, in which children on the playground, on the spectrum, have these large representation of the symbols of communication that frees up their hands and allows them to play much more easily with neurotypical kids and lends itself to an environment of real inclusion through play and through communication. So with that in mind, you know, we referenced in the last segment that there may be some real training necessary for staff as well as the children to acquire maximum benefit of this. So let's speak to that a little bit. What kind of training do staff need?
Well, first, the staff that we will train obviously will be at the 8 elementary schools that have the boards. We'll start there, but then everyone will get the training, whether they have a board at their school or not, kind of preparing them for maybe encountering one in the future. And we hope to raise the funds, obviously, to have them at all of our elementary schools. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. So you're going to train this speech-language pathologist. You're going to train the classroom assistants or teaching assistants. You're going to teach the paraprofessionals that are kind of heart of the classroom, that are typically the one-on-ones for kids in school, that are really working on those communication devices all day long and helping that student model that language. We're going to kind of use the board to model as much as we can. And when I say model language, it's basically showing what we're going to do before we do it by touching the symbol, acknowledging what the child is saying by touching the tiles on their board or exchanging cards. And we acknowledge what the child is saying by repeating it back to them and showing them that we know, either on their picture exchange or on a program like Touch Chat, that we know where what they're saying is, and that we, you know, we're understanding them and their language matters. And it's just kind of fostering that trust with the child that really opens up the door to more and more communication. So basically just giving the SLPs and the classroom teachers and the aides the tools they need to utilize this tool in any possible way they can throughout the day. It doesn't have to be limited to recess, but, you know, kind of use this. The kids are interested in it. And I just think it's a great way for them to expand language, like we were talking about before. You know, we added some tiles with words that aren't necessarily on every child's everyday device and not words they see all the time. So we, you know, take this opportunity to expand their language. Their little brains, you know, are constantly picking up little tidbits and they're learning and they know these devices so much better than we do as adults. So they can, you know, really navigate quickly, and the more quickly they can feel heard, the less we see some of these behaviors that we typically see in our kiddos.
Well, you know, the way you frame that, I think, is, you know, so important, that language matters. And in the process of modeling and teaching language, you're giving children their voice. You're essentially giving them their voice and helping them to understand that what they say matters. Would you agree, Katie, that one of the principal function of picture communication is to teach children that the meaning of symbols, because words themselves are essentially symbols using letters. So even if it starts with a visual symbol, you know, whether it's a picture of water or the bathroom or leaving or a break, whatever that would be, that symbol has value, which sets the stage for the importance of words. So even at its most fundamental, what you're doing is teaching children to the importance of both visual as well as, down the road, verbal communication where possible.
Absolutely. The building block of teaching any kid to read, typical or otherwise, is, you know, using the actual written word, like you said, that words are symbols using letters. So, teaching the children that, you know, car is C-A-R, but also car can look like this. Mm-hmm. And so they can see kind of a real world application of their device and kind of generalize that not all cars look the same, that there are many colors and things out there. And just for them to open it up and kind of, they really do feed on, you're teaching them something and it's these building blocks and you're really seeing the child start to take off in the learning and their communication, and it just blossoms because it's natural. It's an organic thing. They love the playground. They like talking about it. They like being with their friends, you know, and it's just a very natural kind of a training. And the kids don't really have to be, they don't even know they're doing it. They're just enjoying themselves and, you know, really getting down to the most important thing they're going to learn in school. And that's how to communicate.
You know, circling back to the kind of training that's necessary, both for professionals and parents and the many adults who may be interacting with the kids, as well as the kids themselves. Katie, do you follow a prescribed curriculum? Is there some kind of manual that you're using, or is it just based on a lot of experience with kids? How is that formulated?
Well, it's... But this is a new project. So there really is, we were kind of flying by the seat of our pants as far as creating a curriculum to teach with. At HCAS, we have done a lot of trainings for groups varying from police officers to store owners, you know, to teach them kind of the way of the world of autism. But, you know, I think for them, In this situation, it's really, really important that they understand kind of where the child is coming from and how to make them feel heard. And we are so blessed in Howard County because the creator of Touch Chat, Nancy Inman, actually lives in our county. Mm-hmm. So we brought Nancy in on this project to kind of tell us what's the more intuitive way to teach kids the basics so that we can build on what we teach them. And when we build on what we teach them, they can build their language. You know, these, obviously the signs, they have 60 tiles and they're not interchangeable. And we can talk about, you know, maybe the next segment, I can tell you about a really cool sign we're doing for a library, but just, you know, so we need to figure out a way to expand their language without changing the sign. Mm-hmm. So it's adding words, like descriptive words, more adjectives, more pronouns, and kind of teaching them the building blocks of a sentence, which most of our kiddos don't care. I want juice. I want cookie. They don't want to mess with, I want a cookie, period. But if it's outside and it's fun and it's on their, the sign that they know so well and they can show off to their friends, maybe they'll be a little more encouraged to do the whole entire sentence structure and they're learning. They're working on IEP goals and things that they struggle with sitting in the classroom while they're outside and don't even know it.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? The importance of the continuity of the sign while you're still adding to it. So we're not adding an unnecessary layer of confusion, but you're still building on the importance of that communication, which really does make sense. I mean, well, since this constitutes a pilot program, in the Howard County Public School System in Maryland, it seems like this might hold some promise for some research, because it does become a bit of a study, doesn't it? If you were able to look at this closely and begin the work of taking some data, even if it started as anecdotal or qualitative with comments and experiential, over time that could evolve into some very useful, a useful understanding that could be empirical, that you could bring back to the larger community of educators and clinicians.
I don't see why not. You know, I think with projects like this, the sky's the limit. We kind of see how they grow and how we can use the boards in ways that we couldn't even have imagined when we're talking about this project using paper and pencil. You know, so it's really fun to see how everything, everyone and every educator and every administrator and every child finds a way to use the board that's personal to them, and a way that they feel heard. Like I described the child who ran up to the board in the middle of our dedication ceremony. He didn't care. He had his headphones on. He was hanging out and he saw something colorful, took off and ran and started touching it. And the para that was with him, so sweet, FaceTimed his mom. Mom, look, words. I love mom. I love mom. Mom, I slide. Mom, I slide. Go fast. Go fast. And he's doing it all for her while she's on FaceTime. And she goes, when did they put this sign up? How long has he been practicing this? And they said, he's not practicing. He just walked right up to the sign and started using it.
Wow.
And that's the great thing, is that if there's kids that are young and, you know, 2, 3, it seems like a language delay. We're not really sure if it's autism at that point. These boards don't even have to have autism to use them. If you're slower or learning written or spoken word, you can use this with ease of use, and the community around you knows how to use it too.
You know, that really is the point, isn't it? As a very likely, very helpful vehicle towards, you know, in inclusion. And, you know, with that in mind, Katie, I would like to bring you back. I want to talk a little bit about what we referenced before, about expanding the project. So please come back. My guest has been Katie Gandy, and the work is around picture board communication.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.